Exodus chapter 20. As was said, we're going through the Ten Commandments. We're now at the Fifth Commandment. We find it there in the verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The first table of the law, that is, the first four commandments, deals with our moral and spiritual attitude to God. The second table, that is, commandments 5 through to 10, deals with our moral and spiritual attitude to our fellow man. So the second table begins, honor thy father and thy mother. Is it not interesting that the second table of the commandments begins with these words? That God places this commandment here, immediately following the weightier matters of the first four commandments. Maybe if we were to arrange the Ten Commandments, how many of us would have placed honor thy father and thy mother in this particular sequence? How many of us would have made this the fifth commandment? Perhaps we would have placed this commandment near the bottom and placed the other commandments above it. But then we know that God's ways are above our ways. And since God has placed this commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, here in the Decalogue, was he not emphasizing the importance of children honoring their father and their mother? And we think again that God has placed this commandment before, thou shalt not kill. He's placed it before. Thou shalt not commit adultery, he's placed it before. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And so there is a reason for the Lord placing this particular commandment where he did in the Decalogue. And you think of it. Perhaps if children did obey those words, honor thy father and thy mother, then they would not be transgressors of the commandments that follow after. So let us look at the words of the fifth commandment. I want us to notice, first of all, here we have God's precept. God's precept. Honor thy father and thy mother. It's God's precept. That is God's law. And this honor that is to be given to parents, first of all, is to be sincere. It's not to be any kind of an empty honor. It is to be sincere. We see that from the word that God himself used, the word honor. Honor thy father and thy mother. The word honor, the word means to be heavy. It is applied to weight of character, to weight of dignity, to weight of esteem. You esteem someone. It is to honor that person. The word used is directly opposed, or is a direct opposite to a Hebrew word which means to make light of. To make light of, or to set lightly by, or it means to be worthless. The word honor is a word that is opposite to being worthless, to be made light of. God said, honor thy father and thy mother. You don't make light of your father and mother. The attitude towards mother and father, God warns against it in the strongest possible terms. Deuteronomy 27, verse 16, we read these words. Cursed be he that setteth light, there's that word, that setteth light by his father or his mother. Remember again, the word honor means to be heavy. And here in Deuteronomy 27, verse 16, we have the Lord warning against children dealing with their parents in a light manner, not honoring them. And the son or daughter that makes light of their parents shows them no honor, no respect, will provoke the displeasure of God. That was God said, cursed be that he that setteth light by his father, by his mother. And the same lack of respect for parents, a refusal to honor father and mother, was evident in Ezekiel's day. Ezekiel 22, there we read in verse 7, in thee have they set light, it's the word again. In thee have they set light by father and mother. In other words, God is declaring that children have not honored their parents. Again, remember the word honor means to be heavy. Well, here in Ezekiel 22 and 7, as in Deuteronomy, in thee have they set light by father and mother. In other words, children have lightly esteemed their parents. They've made light of their advice. They've made light of their instruction. They've made light of their love. In so doing, they make light of all that their parents have done for them. They make light of all the sacrifices the parents have made for their children. They make light of the love that has been given. They make light of the pity, the sympathy, and what parents have suffered for them. Now we see why God used that particular word for honor. Means to be heavy. To give plenty of honor to mother and father. And not to make light of them. Instead of children lightly esteeming their parents, they are to highly esteem them. Leviticus 19, verse 3. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father. The word fear. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father. The word fear there is a word that means to reverence. Joseph was second only to Pharaoh in all the land of Egypt. Yet he revered his aide's father. In Genesis, there we read in 46, Genesis chapter 46, and there we read in the verse 29, and Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him, and he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. There you have a son reverencing his father, showing a great love for his father. There's not much reverence. There's not much respect for a father whenever children, and I've heard it over the years, maybe I'm sure you have too, where grown children refer to their father as the old man or the old fella. There's not much respect there. Of course, lack of respect, lack of honor, lack of reverence for parents is a mark of the last days. You turn over there to Romans. Romans chapter 1, verse 29. Romans 1 and 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. There's the company that those who are disobedient to parents, there's the company they keep. Paul has mentioned quite a catalogue there in those verses 29 to 30 of wickedness, and included is the disobedience to parents. No. Honor thy father and thy mother. That honor is to be sincere. As well as it being sincere, this honor has to do with submission. That is, not being rebels in the home. Something which the Apostle Paul dealt with. If you turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, and here Paul makes reference to the fifth commandment about honoring father and mother. Ephesians 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. And the promise is that thy days may be long, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for that is right. That is right. Obey. Paul says that's right. It is a very sad situation when children rise up against their parents, and the home then becomes a battlefield. You turn, please, to Micah. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. And Micah. And there we read in the chapter 7. Chapter 7 and verse 6. Micah 7 and verse 6. For the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, a man's enemies, are the men of his own house. When the home becomes a battlefield, you don't really look forward to going home, do you? A man's enemies would be those of his own household. But here Paul speaks about having a happy and harmonious home. Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's right. It's not wrong. It's only but right that children obey their parents. And of course, this is essential in Christian homes. Paul told the believers in Colossae, Colossians 3, verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Pleases the Lord when children obey their parents. Children, obey. That word obey, there in Colossians 3:20, word obey means to hearken, to be submissive. So children are not to turn a deaf ear to the good advice and instruction given to them by their parents. The wise man Solomon, this is what Solomon said. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs 1 and verse 8. Many children who are now adults are better people for the instruction that they were given by their parents. They're better people. And they gave heed to that instruction. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is our perfect example. You turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 51. Christ is 12 years of age at this stage. They've been to Jerusalem. They're returning home. And we read then in verse 51, Luke chapter 2, and he went down with them, that is, with Joseph and Mary. He, Christ, went down with them and came to Nazareth, listen, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. In other words, Christ was subject unto Mary and Joseph. He gave them the obedience that was due unto them as his earthly parents. He was subject unto them. Of course, the Lord Jesus had his heavenly Father. He's the only begotten Son of God. God is heavenly Father. And we read in John 17, in verse 4, the words of Christ speaking to His Heavenly Father. The Lord said to His Father, I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work Thou gavest me to do. In other words, the Son obeyed the Father because the Father sent His Son into the world to save souls, to save His people. And the Lord says, I have finished the work Thou gavest me to do. Wasn't disobedient. Remember, even in Gethsemane's garden, when he referred to the cup, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. The Son was completely submissive to his Father's will. And you recall what the Father said at his Son's baptism in Jordan, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I'm well pleased. Because Christ was that obedient Son. So Christ is the perfect example for all children to follow. And certainly children in Christian homes. We've seen that this honor is to be sincere. This honor has to do with being submissive. This honor has to do with support. Parents who truly love their children will, of course, support them in every way that they can. And when the commandment states, honor thy father and thy mother, that includes children supporting their parents whenever necessary. Just as Joseph supported his aged father. We read in Genesis 47, verse 12, and Joseph nourished his father. The word nourished there means to provide. It means to sustain. Jacob, father of Joseph, of course. Jacob at that time was 130 years old. But he was not forgotten, nor was he neglected by his son. No, Joseph nourished his father. Joseph provided for his father. Joseph sustained his father. He supported him. Likewise, the Lord Jesus, again, the dear Savior gives us always the perfect example. We're in John chapter 19. John 19. The dear Savior is hanging there on the cross. But he didn't forget about his mother. In all probability, Joseph is dead at this time. But here's the Lord supporting his mother. John 19, in verse 26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. There's the Lord's support for Mary. As I say, Joseph in all probability, was dead at this time. And now her son, the Lord Jesus, would soon ascend to his heavenly Father, and she would be left alone. But the Lord Jesus, you think of it, hanging there on the cross, and all that he had on his heart, and all the sufferings that he was enduring, still thought about his mother. Certainly, the Savior had much on his mind and on his heart, but he had Mary, his mother, on his heart, and he supported her, even in his own dying hours. Honor thy father and thy mother. That's what Christ did. So we have considered God's precept. Honor thy father and thy mother, but that also refers to good parents. As well as God's precept, we have good parents here. We read there the words of Paul in Ephesians 6. Paul said again, Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment, the promise. But he didn't leave it there. Paul didn't leave it there. Because in the next verse, Paul said, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth, and ye fathers. Now here's Paul, and he's making reference to the fifth commandment. But he doesn't leave it there. He goes on to say, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So as well as God's precept, there is there mention made of good parents. So what do we have here? Here we have, first of all, a warning. A warning from Paul. A warning. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. There's a warning. The word provoke, that word means to make bitter. It means to irritate. It means to arouse. It means to anger. Does that word not give us a picture of a father who provokes a son or a daughter just for the sake of it? If a child cannot see any rhyme nor reason in the parent's behavior, it can lead to bitterness developing in the heart of the child. Paul said, lest they be discouraged. That's what he says. Lest they be discouraged. The word discouraged means to be disheartened, to lose heart. So if a son or a daughter is involved in some matter, then the cause is right and good and proper, in accordance with the truth of God's word, then that child should be given every encouragement. Every encouragement possible. Lest they be discouraged. Lest they be disheartened. Lest they lose heart. Encourage to do right. Courage to live right. courage to act right. As well as the warning, there's also the ways. Again, Ephesians, verse 4, chapter 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There's the ways. But notice carefully what Paul said. Paul says, bring them up. Parents are to bring their children up. Sometimes a father will tell his children what to do, but he doesn't do it himself. Abraham was a man who brought his children up. Over there in Genesis in the chapter 18, in verse 19, this is God speaking. And God said, for I know him, that is, God says, I know Abraham, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Yes, there is a command. I know him, that he will command his children and his household, but doesn't end there. I know him, he will command his children and his household after him. He'll set them an example. They will follow him. He will bring them up with him. That's what Abraham did. He brought his children up with him. Just as Paul said. In other words, Abraham takes the lead in the ways of the Lord, and his children follow. He did not give a command and then not go with them. He gave the command and he gave the lead. So we are to bring up the children with us. The behavior of parents will lead to their children honoring them. You go over to 1 Samuel. We read here about a parent with whom the Lord was not pleased at all. Eli. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Verse 12. In that day, God is speaking, I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. And then verse 13, we're given the reason. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth. In other words, there was iniquity in the house and Eli didn't do anything about it. Because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. He didn't correct them. He didn't chastise them. We're told his sons made themselves vile because he restrained them not. He just gave them a free rein. More or less let them do whatever they wanted. As I said before, I was not brought up in a Christian home. But my father was a good disciplinarian. I remember when we were living in the country, we'd go out to play in the evening. My father would say, I want you in the house, let's say 8 o'clock. I want you in the house at 8. And we would go out through the back door of the house. And hanging up on the back door was a leather strap. That was the last thing you saw going out of the house. And if you weren't in at 8 o'clock, well, you knew that leather strap would be taken down and applied to the seat of learning. And I'm glad my father treated me that way. Eli didn't treat his sons that way. They made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Unfortunately, Eli was not a good parent. And he and his household paid dearly for it. So regarding good parents, there is the warning, there is the way, and then there is also the word. And again, we're still there in Ephesians, looking at Paul, and again Paul's developing the fifth commandment. And we read then in Ephesians 6 and verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The word nurture. Bring them up in the nurture. The word nurture means instruction. And so the responsibility of a father is to instruct their children in the ways or in the word of the Lord. And then the word admonition. Nurture means instruction. The word admonition means putting into the mind. Get it into the mind. We know the devil's ready to fill the minds of children with many, many things that will not profit them at all and do them no good. Parent is to fill the minds of children with the ways of the Lord. Over in Deuteronomy, there in the chapter 6, Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. There's the word in the ways of the Lord, instruction in the ways and the words of the Lord, putting into the mind and into the heart of the children, the things of God. How often have we heard a testimony? A young man or a young woman, they've been called up into the pulpit to give a testimony how they were saved. And they usually begin with the home they were brought up in. And how often have we heard them say, my mother and father taught me the way of truth from my earliest days. And they honor their mother and father for that very reason. Because they were taught the things of God from their earliest days. And they are thankful for the start that they were given in life. And they honor their father and mother for that. God's precept, good parents, and a gracious promise. A gracious promise. There in the commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land as the Lord thy God giveth thee. That thy days may be long. There's the promise. And again, Ephesians 6, verse 2, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So regarding the gracious promise, it has to do with life. We see that the promise of long life is here. The Puritan Thomas Watson said that nothing sooner shortens life than disobedience to parents. Nothing sooner shortens life than disobedience to parents. Think of Absalom. Absalom, the son of David. Absalom rebelled against his parents. He rebelled against David, his father. He broke David's heart. Absalom wanted the crown. David, his father, was king. Absalom wanted that crown. He wanted that throne. And they gathered up around them a bunch of individuals. And he rebelled against his father. Absalom, we're told, had long hair. And we're told that Absalom died in battle. His hair caught in the branch of a tree, strangled him. He died there in a battle in the forest of Ephraim. And he was only a young man. But he rebelled against his father. In the Old Testament, parental dishonor, or parents, individuals dishonoring parents, they have a short life. Deuteronomy 21, verses 18 to 21. And there in Deuteronomy 21, and with this we'll close. 21 and verse 18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, the son will be brought to the elders of the city, and he was stoned to death. Verse 21. You're only a young fellow. But God here shows us how important it is for children to obey their parents. Children, obey your parents, that thy days honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. May the Lord bless the word to our hearts this morning. Let's unite our hearts now in prayer. Our dear Lord and loving Father, we bless thee for thy word. O Lord, we pray that we might take thy word and apply it to our own hearts. Yea, may the Spirit of God, who will lead us into all truth, apply the truth to our hearts today. And as Christians, Lord, may we trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. For any who know not the Lord, Lord, I pray today salvation will come to someone's heart. Now, Lord, be with us as we leave the house of God. Grant us traveling mercy as we make our way home. Be pleased, Lord, to return us to thy house this evening to worship thee and learn more about thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.